Hi, Andy.
Andy.
Welcome all to our chairperson workshop here today. And we just lost two callers right off the bat.
They have to hit one.
Yeah. Okay, then we are. Well, good now. So, all right, just to inform everybody, this workshop is being recorded. If you're uncomfortable with having your voice recorded, you can message me or email the group real quick if you have any questions as we go along, and that way you won't have to be on here. But we were requested to record this for future members to check it out, so that's what we're going to do. Why don't we open up real quick with the Wii version of the Serenity Prayer?
God, thank you.
All righty, I want to welcome everybody to our workshop here. For those of you that wanted to, I uploaded the notes that I'm going to be working off here to the group a while ago if you want to follow along. And I think most of y'all are pretty familiar with what we're doing here. Our newest chair just chaired her first meeting last night, so this is probably going to be familiar to a lot of y'all. And you know, I just want to say from the start, I was honest in here when I typed it up that some of this is my experience, strength, and hope, and some of it's my opinion. And you know, I respect anybody's right to disagree with anything I say. This is not, you know, been an approved document from the group to say this is the way we do everything. But I figured that I needed to put some things together here for our workshop today. So first thing I did was posted from the group Trusted Servants Roles and Responsibilities World Board Approved Pamphlet. It states that the leader slash chairperson is any member who guides the recovery meeting according to the meeting format. The leader, often a different person each week or each month, often sets the tone for the rest of the meeting. The leader's tone helps establish a positive atmosphere of recovery. This might include keeping order in the meeting. Kindness and calmness go a long way in preserving the atmosphere of recovery. A leader can be both loving and firm and keep the meeting focused on the message of recovery. And like I said, everything from this point is what I type. So, you know, I'm stating that this is just for the purpose of the workshop. I'm not the ultimate authority or spokesperson for the Bridge Group, but this is what I came up with. And on the Bridge, we have some specific challenges in chairing our meetings that don't have to be overcome in face-to-face meetings. We don't have the benefit of being a visual fixture at the front of the meeting and can't easily deal with disruptions or other problems by being able to quickly identify the source of the problem. We can, however, do a pretty good job of maintaining the atmosphere of recovery by remembering a few things. First, if I am chairing, it's not my meeting. I am a member entrusted with the job of chairing this meeting. Second, I need to remember to be polite at all times, as I am the most central and focal member, and my actions directly affect any addict coming to the meeting's opinion of our group. Three, I need to remind myself not to take anything personal in chairing the meeting. Those of us that have chaired NA meetings, both face-to-face and on the Bridge, know things are going to happen. We also learn how to roll with the punches and keep the meeting on focus. And in preparing to chair Bridge meetings, I would suggest a few things. First, become familiar with the format of the meeting or meetings you are going to be chairing. The daytime and evening formats are different. I would recommend printing out the format so you have it front and center at all times. Posted up on our Yahoo group there. Make sure you know who your greeter and moderator are going to be. If you have any questions, make sure and let your meeting's coordinator help you with getting your answers. As a chairperson, I was taught that I'm responsible for maintaining the atmosphere of recovery, which includes running a timer on those sharing and beeping them when necessary. Some chairs have the greeter or moderator handle the timing and beeping for them. If you're going to delegate those duties, please be clear on who's doing what. Make sure you call in about 15 minutes early and get your readers lined up. The closer to the meeting time, the busier the room gets, and it's chaotic to be trying to line up readers during the last rush of addicts coming online. It's also possible to line up some or all of you readers online before calling time. Also, have your meeting's topic printed up or pulled up online and be familiar with it. We'll do more on that later. Be ready to go on time. I know that many of us start the meeting about 2 minutes after the scheduled start time to allow the last-minute call-ins to be identified. We're getting some feedback in here. Stick with the format. We have readings, announcements, and sometimes speakers, so smoothly moving along all that allows the maximum time for addict sharing in the rest of the meeting. Again, remember to please be polite and professional in the way you handle yourself during the meeting. And, okay, this is how I prepare for chairing a Bridge meeting. Although being online for chairing is beneficial, it's not required. Number one, I have the format pulled up online or printed and laying in my lap. Lately, I've used printed format and plastic sheets where I can write the names of readers, intro person, and speaker if applicable, and magic marker where I can clean the names off for the next meeting. And although it's not required, I recommend a headset on the phone to keep my hands free operating the timer in the computer. I log into the moderator board 15 to 20 minutes before the meeting starts and then call in ready to be of service. And 4, line up your readers as quickly as possible to avoid making the greeter and moderator's jobs more difficult than they already are by having that done before the rush. Determine is who is going to be doing the intros at the end of the meeting also. 5, I recommend finding a way to communicate online with your greeter and moderator as the meeting is going on. Personally, I usually use Yahoo with the people I'm working with. That way, if situations arrive, you have someone to assist you in handling them. 6, I don't use the before meeting time social gathering. I understand that as chair, I need to lead by example. And 5, pay attention to the moderator board. If your greeter or moderator all of a sudden disappears from a call-in board, be ready to step up and assist. And once the meeting starts, it's the chair's job to keep it flowing and as orderly as possible. I have found that I can be polite and still maintain an atmosphere of recovery. I surely don't respond to hostility or someone shouting obscenities at me, so I shouldn't expect anyone else in the meeting to either. I recommend reading the meeting announcement more than once during the meeting. Usually I do this as we start, and then again right before opening the meeting. It may be necessary to repeat it again in dealing with noise once the meeting starts. Again, I found that being firm and polite when trying to quiet the noise works well. I also add something to the effect of please be respectful of addicts in attendance by managing your background noise. And some of the things that people approach me with, well, when we start talking about this, is like, what do I do if? Okay, what do I do if I ask for the next reader and they aren't answering? I simply roll with it and ask if anyone has basic text handy and let them step up. What do I do if there's consistent background noise? Again, reading the meeting statement and ask all to be respectful in maintaining our atmosphere of recovery. I've found that a lot of the noise isn't intentional, and if I can identify the noise, such as someone is on speakerphone and it's feeding back in the meeting, or someone is breathing heavily, or we got a TV going in the background, or somebody's kid is really raising hell in the background, whatever, then they realize they're the problem, and they'll usually take steps to correct it immediately. Okay, what do I do if there's a bunch of people trying to jump in and share at the same time? Commit it and try to identify each of them and then give them the order in which they'll share. I've found our attendees to be quite respectful of letting a few addicts that have been recognized to share before they jump in trying to take their turn. And on one more note, although it's not mentioned in the format, remind everyone prior to opening the floor that we know it's difficult to keep track of time in our meetings, so if you've been sharing for a while and you hear a beep, it's our gentle way of reminding you that you're coming up on the time limit. Please be respectful and wrap it up so many addicts as possible will be able to share. And I'm going to submit a motion. I really think we probably need to add that in the format so everybody remembers to get that. Okay, why do I need to be watching the moderator board? It's to your benefit as chair to be monitoring those in the room and those coming and going. Often a caller will dial in and all of a sudden we have music playing or a conversation going on. If I'm paying attention to the board, I can identify the source of the noise and mute them quickly until after I've been able to remind everybody about background noise, then I can unmute them. You know, the moderator board is not a play toy. We don't mute people for fun. We don't beat people for fun, and I have never disconnected a caller. I've found from my experience that when someone calls in and is immediately disruptive of the meeting, that once they realize they're muted, they hang up because they're not accomplishing what they came into the meeting for. And the first example we would have of that would probably be just a couple months after we started the meeting. We had a caller from Nevada somewhere calling in on two phones. The two numbers came in almost simultaneously, and the minute they were online, they would point the phones at each other to start producing just a deafening feedback. And once we figured out, you know, that's where they were coming from the area code, and that's when it started. Once we muted the phones, the caller realized they couldn't feedback into the room anymore. They hung up. After two meetings in a row of being muted, that person never dialed in again, as far as I know. And if you're consistently chairing the same meeting and paying close attention to the moderator board, you will get to know your attendees. On those rare times where being polite is not stopping the disruption, it may be necessary to try to identify a disruptor on the board. If you know your crowd, it makes the job easier when you're looking for a problem. And, you know, we have to remember that any addict has the right to attend our meetings, and in a face-to-face meeting, the chair would be able to direct his or her attention to that addict. We don't have that option here. It is very rare that I've had to resort to hitting the mute button on someone. Personally, I would prefer not to ever have to do it, but there are times when it has become necessary. And when I do, I would recommend doing what I do and communicate with your moderator online when it becomes necessary to do so. That way, if there are any questions or complaints later, there are two home group members familiar with the situation and what actions were taken. On the times that I've had to mute someone, I unmute them after I've made the muting announcement again, and normally they pretty well get it. You know, last night was unique, and I know we'll get that in the discussion here later. But unless asked for assistance from the moderator, I make absolutely no entries to the board once the meeting starts. If more than one person is typing in names, it gets quite confusing to the person delegated with that duty. Remember, there are announcements and possible readings at the end of the meeting, so don't discard your format once the meeting starts. And if something has gone down in the meeting that's produced some drama, get with your meeting coordinator afterwards for input on how to deal with it. Please remember not to take anything during the meeting that happens personally. Things happen, life recovery, and meetings go on. And, as Bridge Group members, we're extremely grateful to anyone who's willing to serve at this level. And basically, that's the notes I had. We're going to open up the floor if anybody has any questions or we want to discuss. And I know before we're done, we'll get to the discussion of how we handled things last night. But is there any other points that anybody else thinks that are important to a chair that I missed preparing here? No one. Okay.
Pretty comprehensive job.
As far as last night goes and the week before, just so you know, and again, we don't broadcast everything we're doing all over the air, but in communication with a couple addicts, there were a couple of us that jumped on the board last night that we knew the minute the problem started, we would because it had happened at one meeting recently before. We did everything we could to try to identify the source, man. We were muting and unmuting, and Katie believes she found a caller on that one, and I'm not going to put that number into the recording, but I know the meeting coordinators will chair it. The best we can do is the best we can do, I think that the ones that are doing the disrupting, we've attracted a lot of additional attention here lately, and normally people that are just in it to start trouble will get bored with it and find somewhere else to go start it pretty quickly, so I don't really think we're going to have too many more problems with that. But, all I know, man, is I got to tell y'all that I've enjoyed the hell out of chairing this meeting on a regular basis for a while, and I know for those of you that are new, Jeff's been doing it a little regular now. I know James and Dawn are fairly new at it and all, man. Just roll with the punches. Stuff is going to happen. I had to, man, if it would happen, our chairperson didn't show up at my home group this morning, so I'm laughing about this today when one of the other group members looked at me and said, get up there. And I had to cut off an addict in that meeting today, too. We asked for 3 to 5 minutes, and at 9, I had to politely ask him to wrap it up, and it took him another 2 minutes, and the whole group got hip to it, and when he finally stopped to take a breath 2 minutes later, the whole meeting just told him thank you. He was done whether he wanted to be or not. But, I know that early in recovery, if anything went wrong in a meeting, I took it real personally. And my ego was hurt, and I was afraid I was going to be judged and all that other stuff. And it's just a meeting, man. Stuff's going to happen, whether you're in a face-to-face, here at a convention or whatever. And the quicker you can learn to just roll with it and keep the meeting flow, the easier it's going to be on you. If something goes wrong in the meeting, like I said, get with your coordinator or somebody that's got some experience, and they can bounce it off a couple other addicts, too. But, I don't think we're going to have anything happen here that we can't handle as a group.
You're right.
Cool. We got a television on now. There we go. That's what I'm talking about in the meeting. If I can quickly identify the noise, then the person that's there usually knows what's going on. Nobody has any other questions, comments, ideas?
Hey, everyone. I'm Katie. I'm an addict.
Hey, Katie.
I think the only thing, and I discussed this with Andy before, and I think Mick and I have talked about it, and this might be something that we want to take to the ad hoc format committee, but having chaired one of those large meetings where people that were snowed in called in and we had all those new people to the bridge, something that I've started doing on the meeting that I chair that seems to have helped a lot is when I first open up the meeting, you know, hi everyone, I'm Katie, I'm an addict, welcome to the Thursday version of the Bridge Group. Before we open the meeting up with the service prayer, I'd like to ask everyone to press star 6 and mute your phone during the readings and the announcements. Then when the room's opened up to share, then you could press star 6 and unmute to share. And what I found that did, especially when we had all the people new to the bridge, is that the ones that were new they would hit star 6 and mute. The regulars usually didn't, but the regulars know what's going on. And then any troublemakers that are going to be on there to cause trouble are saying, well, shoot, if everyone's going to be muted, I'm going to get busted if I'm going to try to cause some trouble. So I just did find that to be helpful when we have a large influx of people who call in that aren't used to the format of the bridge. So I just wanted to add that, too.
Thanks, Katie.
I'm an addict, and Mickey.
Okay, I got Lizzie and then Mickey.
Okay. I've found that when people are new to the bridge, especially from other regions, that they will start reading along with the readings. And so what I have said is, what is often fun at a face-to-face meeting can really disrupt the people during the conference call. Please don't interrupt the speaker, and please don't read along with the readings. And I just real quickly, if that happens more than once or twice, if the same person does it, then I'll have to talk to them after the meeting. But I've never had to do that. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, rolling with it. Just deal with the problem as it comes up politely and courteously.
Right.
And yeah, good job. Good idea. All right, Mick?
Yeah, I have a question. Maybe maybe Diane could answer it, or somebody familiar with the company that we use this service for, or with the way this thing is designed. I know that when we call in, we're given a voice prompt that tells us to enter our access code and hit pound. And then we're given another direction that's a voice prompt to say our name and hit pound. My question is there any way for us to have a similar voice prompt, maybe a recorded message before they get into the room that lets them know that they're about to enter a live Narcotics Anonymous meeting, especially if it's after 8 o'clock or after 3 o'clock or, you know, after the meeting started? If it is possible, do any of you guys think something like that would be helpful? Knowing that they're entering the meeting, maybe ask to immediately hit star 6 as they're entering the meeting, as to not be disrupted.
Okay.
You know, that there's a meeting in progress.
Right. I can answer that one for you real easily, man. It's a free service. And any of those additional features would involve a pay service. Well, the only thing we were able to do, because it was real disruptive to have that intro where you're in the middle of a meeting and all of a sudden Mick is now entered the meeting, you know, and all they were able to do for us at the time when Diane contacted them was to disable the announcement when you entered the room. Diane could correct me, but I believe that's all they were willing to do. We don't have the option of changing the recording. That's standard on the free service, right, Diane?
That's right. That's all they were able to do. They couldn't stop the recording or the announcement or change it. The only thing they could do was stop the names from being announced in the meeting.
Okay.
Good idea, but we can't make it work here. And again, to be honest with you, I think because of the circumstances, I don't want to get into all that, or I'll get on a rant, but we got a lot of people in a big old rush at once coming in that were unfamiliar with what we were doing, and I think that's the biggest problem with what we've been encountering here. But normally people, when they come in at first, some will come in and hi, and as a chairperson, again, you're rolling with it, you let them know, excuse me, but we're having a meeting here, so you know, please be respectful of the meeting, and you know, they come in and say hi because it's their first time, they don't know what they're doing.
So I have another question then.
Yeah.
I know some personal opinions about, you know, the way that we promote the meeting. And, you know, just for the sake of the workshop and just for the sake of trying to be clear about the question, most of us realize that a lot of the messages in regards to the meetings are posted on in the rooms. Now, you know, if we're going to continue to do something like that, and that's if we continue, and I don't know how we ever get around to stopping it completely, nor do I know if we need to, but if we're going to continue, why aren't we posting, you know, the people that are willing to post all these, you know, bridge meeting tonight, bridge meeting this afternoon, why don't we add some etiquette to it, some format to it? If you are going to come, you know, here's the way this goes down. Please, you know, star six. Mute yourself as you come into the room. I mean, who knows? You know, we're never going to stop the person, no matter where they're coming from, that's there for one purpose, and that's to be disruptive. And we'll find them, just like we always do. But, you know, for the sake of new people that are coming in that don't know what's really going on, why aren't we giving them at least some little tiny sentence or two of, you know, as you enter the room, here's what we do? I don't know if we can do that either, but, you know, if we're going to be putting stuff up on, you know, in the rooms, why not put a little more than just, here's the bridge number, come on in, see you there.
All righty. Man, I've got some real strong opinions on that, so I'll let everybody else have a chance first. Anybody want to comment on that one?
Hi, I'm Joe Manet.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I have a real problem with that, and I know that it's just me, because I'm really, I'm pretty anal retentive about some things, man. I just, I'm working on it, but it's just tough, you know. And I, the way I interpret that stuff going on is that we're really endorsing, you know, an outside enterprise, because in the rooms, after all, it's a wonderful thing, and I know that we wouldn't be where we are without having done what we've done. But at a certain point, I think if we look at our sixth position, it's something that really has to stop, because, you know, if we want to be recognized, it was something new and was something very important and something that's going to grow. We're setting an example here, and in a way, and you know, in any group, if we want to be looked at as a real, valid, viable, and Narcotics Anonymous meeting and group, we really need to abide by the steps and traditions. That the group book says that. When you ask, you know, what is in any group or in any meeting, and it says exactly that, a group that follows the 12 steps and 12 traditions of NA. And endorsing an outside enterprise, like, which is really, to me, and of course, there's all types of interpretations and stuff like that. To me, that's a direct endorsement. If we're using in the rooms to say, well, about the bridge, wow, I mean, it's how more direct can you get? And again, you know, I'm torn, because I know that, that it's been so helpful to us, and it's such a great tool for communicating, and it's got such positive things, but at the same time, you know, I think that that's one of the forces that could destroy us. Just my opinion. I know that some other people feel the same way. Some other people might not. But I definitely, you know, before I thought about it real deeply, I was doing it too. And now it's been a while since I've done that. When I'm going to talk about it with anybody about that in the rooms, I refer to our meeting or the meeting. Never by name. But that's just me. I don't know if anybody else has any comments on it or any advice or, you know, I don't know, help, you know.
I'm Diana, an addict.
Go ahead.
Okay, we got Diana and then Lizzie.
I just wanted to ask that this not be part of this workshop, because it's a huge issue with a lot of controversy within the group. I know I've posted about it at great length, and I just don't know that this is something that this huge controversial discussion should be recorded as part of a workshop on chairing.
All righty.
Libby, addict.
Is he?
Yeah, I have already responded to that on message number 891 on the Yahoo group. So okay. If anyone wants to read my opinion, there you go. Thanks.
I think everybody, let's refrain on that. Well, once we stop the recording, if y'all want to stick around and discuss that a little bit, just as group members, I don't have a problem with that. But let's stick with the chairing of the meeting for right now. Any other questions or comments? Yeah, come on,
Joe. It's about the readings. You know, I'm really extreme in some of my views and stuff like that, but to me the readings are probably one of the most important parts of every meeting. They're read at every meeting all over the world, I have, since they came out. And it just makes my hair stand on end when people butcher the readings. And what's happening is that, you know, on the bridge we're getting a lot of people from other fellowships, a lot of people that are not really familiar with Narcotics Anonymous. They're not used to listen to the readings the way they're read properly at every meeting. They may not go to a meeting because they're homebound, or they may not know NA because they go somewhere else or whatever, and I know our doors are open. But I know that I personally am very, very careful when I pick my readers, even if I'm rushed at the end of the meeting. And I'm torn here again because I want to give as many new people also a chance to participate. I believe in that, and giving everybody a chance to participate and be part of, which is important. But I think more important is that our readings are read properly. And I know that I myself, I don't know if anybody else has been noticing that, but I personally have been noticing that, and it's giving me some food for thought. You know, I don't know anybody else on that.
That's a good idea, Joe. I try to look for familiar names as they're coming in. You know, and there's some people like Jeff, man. If I'm chairing a meeting, I can always count on Jeff to read who. You know, there's a number of y'all that I could count on. But, yeah, I think it's real important that we make sure that you know, again, that's part of the responsibility for keeping the atmosphere of recovery flowing properly is to make sure that we're doing our best. And you know, I think if it's somebody that's been to a couple meetings and hasn't read yet, by then they got it. But if it was somebody that's coming for the first time on the bridge, and they, you know, our moderators are pretty good at that, and they'll ask somebody, is this your first time, when they tell them who it is. And if it is, they give them the rundown on the meeting and how we operate and all that, and I would be real hesitant to ask that person to do a reading the first night myself. Anybody else?
Well, aren't we, or didn't you suggest that, you know, that the chairperson line up readers prior to the meeting?
I tried to, and it's funny, man, because the group got hip to it. I guess I was pestering the hell out of people every Saturday and Sunday, because I would go online to that site that we mentioned earlier, and I would look in the group to see who was online and start sending out requests. And what would happen is all these people would be online, and right at an hour to, or so before the meeting, they would all log off. that's a tool that the chairperson could use, but it doesn't necessarily always work.
All right, but that just leads into another point. You know, it's always about the willingness. You know, whether or not, I mean, I don't know how we can control accuracy, nor do I think I want to. I want them to be, you know, solid NA members, and I'm assuming that because they're at an NA meeting, they are, but for the most part, I've got my readers lined up, even if I had to, you know, message them a couple hours in advance or whatever. You know, I think I've got my readers lined up, you know, prior to the meeting, and even if something would falter during the, you know, the 10 minutes or so prior to the meeting, I think we all understand who's a solid part of the group and who isn't. I mean, but I'm really not sure that, you know, I personally, I would rather have somebody butcher a reading than not utilize the new people and give them an opportunity through practical application to get this thing we do, personally. Mm-hmm. I'm a little more tolerant. that's me doing this thing perfect. None of us.
Yeah.
I'm Katie.
Hang on. I think Lizzie was in there ahead of you, Katie.
I just wanted to say that one of the things that I most enjoy about Narcotics Anonymous meetings, either face-to-face or on the bridge, is when someone is asked to read, and it's pretty noticeable that they didn't get a lot of reading experience as children or in school. I love to hear them go through that reading. I feel so proud that that person is reading for us, and I know that, again, they're getting more experience. I think it's one of the most wonderful things I've seen is people who finally decide they can speak up and read, and it may take them a little longer, they may stumble over words, but none of us has to be understanding. I mean, we all have to be understanding of where that person is coming from. It makes me very proud.
Thanks, Lizzie. All righty, Katie.
Okay, back to the whole workshop deal. I'm not really sure what Joe was talking about. I know that people in different areas I've been in, they like to make all these side comments along with their readings, but that usually isn't by the reader. That's usually by people, just an addict in the room. And I think that can be accomplished by having everyone press *6 before the readings are read. Then if they want to make comments, they can make all the comments they want, but we're not going to hear them. And then if there is someone who's reading a reading and is adding comments or not being respectful of the reading, I think it comes back to the chairperson to talk to that person after the meeting and you know, educate them on the respect of the meeting and the respect of the reading. So from a workshop standpoint, I think once again it comes back to picking someone who has, you know, enough sense of self and sense of recovery to be able to gently handle that situation in the right manner. That's it.
Good idea. Anybody else?
So for the sake of the workshop, really what it comes down to is that the chairperson, you know, be as selective as they can in picking the readers, also being sensitive as they can as to whether or not this person may be struggling with the reading, or it may be some more of the background noise or the chiming in. Around here we call it the chorus. You know, and we'll remind people that the readings do not say, the readings do not say chorus. But, you know, I believe that that we got to give everybody an opportunity to feel their way through this. This is a great workshop. Hopefully there's some people on today that are getting some good ideas about chairing. But, you know, even with the great work that Andy does, the stuff that he's put up that can be, you know, looked at, it still takes, and I know I had to do it. We all had to get up there and go through the jitters and the shakes and the nervousness and you know, put some practical application into it, and it takes some time. And, you know, I think along the lines of what Joe was saying, I think when we do, you know, what bothers me is when we have people who know better, who ad-lib a reading or add something to the reading that doesn't exist in the reading, or, you know, the chairperson adds something to the reading or to the chair, you know, to the format. That bothers me more than, you know, somebody butchering a word or accidentally saying, you know, narcotics, you know, that, you know, that I can live with. But when it's somebody that knows better, that's doing it because they're seeking attention or trying to be cute, that really drives me crazy.
Thanks, Mick.
That kind of demands more like editing, you know, when they're editing. So they're editing the readings, which don't need
anything. Oh, God. Okay, I get it. I mean, and again, I think Mickey's the one point that is really valid that we all got to remember, especially if you're new here. Everybody, you know, I know people have commented that I seem so calm when I'm doing it, so I've done it a lot. The more experience you get, the more comfortable you're going to be doing this, you know, and, yeah. and it, it does get easier with time. Are you still going to have stuff come up? Yeah. I mean, even in my home group today, my home group, I crack up every Sunday, and actually, most of the face-to-face meetings I go to, have you ever noticed that it's the newcomer that always ends up with the traditions that can't pronounce anonymity?
Yeah.
Or autonomous. You know, and we all look at each other, and everybody in my home group, we just lay the readings out, you know, in my other home group. And, you know, if you sit down, you got that reading, and it's like people will see that reading that have some time there, and they always head off to another chair. And it always seems to be the newcomer. But, again, I really agree with Katie, too, and probably, you know, I don't want to shame anybody in a meeting. I don't want to dampen their spirit or their fire. But a lot of times if there's something like that that goes on in the meeting, I have much better results if I get with that addict one-to-one after the meeting and discuss it to them as a human being instead of just screaming something at them in the middle of the meeting. You know, anybody else?
Yeah, I'm an addict. My name's James.
Yeah, James.
Glad to be a part of this today. I've been trying to share, but I guess you guys didn't hear me because everybody was walking all over me. But, you know what? I mean, what I want to say kind of goes back to kind of like what Andy was just saying. Who are we to judge? Who are we to judge somebody else on how they read? I mean, just like Andy was just talking about the word anonymity and autonomous and all that. I know people with freaking time that still have problems saying that word. I mean, it's funny sometimes, but I mean it's the truth. I mean somebody made the comment. Somebody mentioned it earlier. I'm not sure if it was Mick or not, but I mean, I personally, an experience I had in a face-to-face meeting. There was a guy that came in, knew he started reading, and it took him forever to read "Who's an Addict." All right. But every meeting that guy came to, he always sat wherever "Who is an Addict" is, and by the time this guy had 90 days clean, he could read that. He could read "Who's an Addict" almost perfectly, and that was just because of his problems, his own personal problems that he had with reading. So I personally think that it's great to get people. Maybe it's their first time. If they have the willingness to get up and read and get, if they have the willingness to be a reader and they want to be a part of the meeting, who are we to take that away from them? I mean, it's kind of like Lizzie just said. It's a great feeling to see that newcomer want to open up their mouth and be a part of the group. I mean, yeah, I know the chair people pick out their readers and all of that. And a lot of times it's done before the meeting even starts, but sometimes it's not. But I think that if we have the opportunity and we have a newcomer, that somebody at their first meeting or whatever, that has the willingness to read and they want to be a part of the group, who are we to take that away from them? Why shouldn't we let them, just because it's their first time at the bridge, why should we tell them, no, we don't want you to read. You may not read it perfectly, and we want somebody to read it perfectly. Come on, give me a freaking break. I know people with time that can't read perfectly. So, I mean, I just don't agree with the comment somebody made earlier as far as pick your readers wisely. I mean, I think that whoever you can get to read, if they have the willingness to read, we should be open-minded enough to let that person read. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, James.
I'll change the subject.
Okay.
Hang on, there was two of y'all trying to get in here. Katie, were you wanting to comment on this subject?
Well, actually, all I wanted to do and kind of lighten the subject up was to say my first sponsor taught everyone how to say the word anonymity by using a woman's name. It's Anna Anonymity. And that's how I learned to say it, and I tell people that all the time. And James, I don't think we're talking about not letting people read. We're talking about people that disrespect the readings. But anyway, that's all I had.
That's not what was said earlier. All right, yeah. Let's take a breath. This is a perfect example of remembering to not take things said in our meetings personally.
You know, I understand.
Collect the breath. And Mick, you wanted to change the topic. Go, buddy.
Yeah, for the sake of the workshop, you know, we kind of get stuck on one thing. We all know what we're talking about here is, you know, it's cool. I mean, you know, Joe's a great traditionalist, and, you know, I know where he's coming from with that, but I was wondering if maybe we could talk a little more for the sake of people who haven't chaired a meeting, or especially chaired a bridge meeting, if we could talk a little more about keeping the flow, you know, of the meeting going. What happens when we get that, you know, dead air space, and how do we keep it going? Do we pick somebody, Andy? Do we have a list of names written down that we know how do you do that? When like last night a couple of times there was a little bit of dead air and the chairperson said, all right, come on, we need, you know, and did a great job of keeping the flow going, but how do I do that, Andy, if I want to, what's the best way for me to keep that going?
Somebody just joined us, David, welcome. What I do, you know, and again, it's, you know, everybody's got their own little style or whatever, but, I would do the same thing if I was chairing a face-to-face meeting. If it goes about 5 seconds and it's quiet, then I'm going to jump in and I'm going to, you know, and I try to do it lighthearted, man. I'll ask, you know, all right, you know, we use Jimmy's famous come on with it, all right, who would like to share next? And I will also, as a chairperson, remind everybody that I, you know, if I have to, I will start calling names. And as far as the name calling goes, it varies from meeting to meeting in our topic. If we're on a step or a tradition and it's quiet, because, again, what I was talking about earlier, be familiar with the people that attend your meeting. And if we're in an upper step or a tradition or something and it's quiet, I'm going to call the name of one of the addicts in the room that I know that has a lot of time that's going to be on topic when I put them on the spot, and that we'll have something to share about it. If it's just, you know, one of those other topics where everybody's sharing. The other thing I watch is we might have somebody come to a meeting, two or three. I'll just use Saturdays as an example because that's what I did for quite a while here. If they come 2 or 3 weeks and I've never heard them share in the meeting yet and it's quiet, I'm going to call their name and encourage them to be a part of. You know, and sometimes I know that those of you who have attended the meetings and when I've been sharing, sometimes that addict will just like say, hi, I'm so-and-so, man, and I just, you know, I really don't have anything to share, but I really enjoy listening. At least at that point, we have given them a somewhat unofficial or whatever invitation to be a part of and to feel a part of the meeting. But I usually give it about 5 seconds, and then I will react. And if I ask for the next person and nobody chairs, you know, the other thing is that everybody's gotten so used to meeting. If you're a chairperson and you're new, it can be real scary when you get ready to open up the floor and you've got 37 callers in the room and all but 10 are muted, you know. So right off the bat, you know that if somebody doesn't jump in, the overwhelming majority in the room is just listening. And so I'll warn them, you know, that I do have a list of numbers. And if it's somebody on mute and I'm going to call their name, I will say, so-and-so, how about would you like to unmute and share with us? And, again, it's just developing a feel for it. We don't want dead air, you know, for lack of a better expression in the meeting for very long, 3 to 5 seconds. Usually in most meetings, somebody will step up, and if not, then I will encourage them. But if it comes to where I have to call names, again, I want an experienced member if we're talking about something that the newcomer might not be familiar with. And I also try to watch that board every week when I'm chairing. And if it's somebody that hasn't participated yet, I'm going to invite them to be a part of, because maybe that's all it's going to take. And the next thing you know, they're coming into the meetings regularly, and they don't have a problem sharing with us at a future meeting. So that would be my suggestions on it. Anybody else got any?
Well, this is David. I don't really have a suggestion, but I have a comment to make. Andy, I think you do an excellent job when you do that. But in fairness to the 20 out of 30 people on the line being muted, they're just doing what they were asked to do, you know. They're asked to mute until it's time to share. So if you're going to call on people, you know, it doesn't matter. In my mind, it wouldn't matter if they're muted or not, you know. Go ahead and call them. They've been told to mute, and they're just doing what they've been asked to do.
Right. We got somebody else just dialed in and muted here as an example. But if I'm going to call somebody that's muted, it's going to be somebody that I know that is a regular and has experience. You know, you follow. And if it's a new person that's muting every week, then I'm not going to try to pull them out of the out of the closet there and into the meeting, because they might not really be quick enough on the dial or whatever to do that. So if that clarifies it any. But if I'm going to call on somebody that's muted, it's normally going to be a regular that I know that has time, that's not going to freak out. You know, and it's also somebody that I know that is just doing that out of courtesy to the meeting, that you know, when they come to the meeting, they're not, what do I want to say? They're not sitting there with the TV on or whatever blasting in the background.
Right.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Jen. I'm an addict.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, everybody. I agree, Andy, with, you know, not having the dead airspace or however you want to put it, again, because it is a call-in meeting. However, you know, keep in mind that a lot of times there's newcomers on the bridge, and even though I'm not new to the bridge, I've, you know, been to a lot of meetings where there's been different chairperson, and some can call on people delicately and some others don't. At times, you know, I've heard it come across as a threat, and it'll make me want to go on mute or hang up, you know, because I'm not one that's big on, you know, what if I stray off the topic or whatever, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, shit, now they're going to call on me, you know, just out of the blue. So, you know, I think just be mindful of the new people and, you know, the people, like you said, that come on to listen and don't always share, because it can come over as threatening. It really does.
Okay, and I guess I don't know if I'm one of the ones you've interpreted that, because, you know, sometimes we just can't get the meeting rolling after the speaker on a Saturday night. Once it gets rolling, it seems to take on a pretty good flow. But sometimes, you know, we got a couple addicts that are real good about jumping in and trying to get it rolling if they're there. But there are those nights where it's quiet, and I have more than once said, don't make me start calling names from the beginning of the meeting. And normally that gets a laugh. I try to be polite. I try to be courteous. You know, and I guess, you know, a lot of us sometimes aren't as mindful as our tone of voice. Man, I you know, the other thing I do when I'm chairing, and it's probably easier for me on a weekend than it is for you all in the daytime meeting, but I take a little bit of quiet time before I get ready to dial in and all, where I get myself all calmed down and relaxed, because I don't want to come in here all stressed out, because that's going to play right into the meeting as I'm trying to chair it. So I try to take a little bit of time and get myself calmed down, let go of whatever it is that I'm churning on that day, if I've been churning. Try to get the person out of my mind that pissed me off earlier in the day that I'm still working over way too much, giving them free rent in my head, whatever. But, yeah, you know, gentle and respectful and polite, those are the things that we gotta remember all the time, man. It's you know, just, I don't know, man. If I come in all relaxed and I just try to gently keep the flow going, it seems to work pretty well. So, anybody else?
Yeah, let's make a guess.
Okay, I got Mick, Joe, and Lizzie, I think. Mick?
All right. One of the, and I don't want to sound like I'm answering my own question. I asked the question so that we might get the ball rolling on this portion of the workshop. But one of the tricks that I used, and I'm by far, no one that knows me in the stretch of their imagination would think that I'm bashful, and I'm certainly not. But there are certain situations. There are certain situations that I've gone into and that I've been a little fearful of, a little intimidated by. And I remember first couple times chairing the bridge, feeling a little fearful, feeling a little intimidated, especially with, you know, the not only wanting to make sure that it was chaired right, but wanting to make sure that, you know, that I have yet to be on the moderator board. Now, that's not something that I want to do, and if it was a requirement to chair that you had to be on the moderator board, I'd probably never chair again. But what I have done, and this is just a little trick that I've used, and it might help somebody that's here. You know, I know that the, you know, four or five people or six people that I ask to read readings are probably going to stay through the whole meeting. Okay, I know they're there. So I got my readers. I write their names down. I know they're here in the meeting. I've also instant messaged either Diane or Andy or whoever was on the board and say, hey, give me some names of some people that are here. So that I'll have a little list, handwritten list of names of people that I know are here. And as Andy stated, I got a pretty good idea of you know, where these people are at as far as when they share, how they share, do they stay on topic, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I'll do like Andy does. I have this list of people, and whenever there's 5 seconds or so, I might say something like, you know, I know names. Come on, somebody jump in. And if no one jumps in, then I don't have a problem just naming a name. I may say, come on, Andy, share for us. Now, I don't know if Andy's on mute or not, but I'm assuming he's still in the meeting. So when I say, come on, Andy, share for us, you know, then I give him a few seconds, if in fact he is on mute, to unmute and jump in. So, again, the whole thing for me, the trick for me was to have, you know, some backup, 5-6 names on a piece of paper, because rarely have I had to, and the few times that I've chaired, have I had to use all 5-6 names to keep the flow going. You know, sometimes somebody will jump in and say something or share something that'll trigger 3-4 other people sharing, and then maybe it goes dead again, and you pick somebody, and maybe they share something that again triggers, you know, another share or two. So, again, just a little trick. If you're new at this, and you're not wanting to butcher this chair thing up, and you're not trying to concentrate on the moderator board and all this other stuff, write some names down, people that you know are here, and then when that sort of dead air thing comes up, you know names, and don't be afraid to use them. That's all I had.
Thanks, Mick. I think, Lizzie, you were next.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up what you mentioned about getting calm and centered before the meeting. I've found that sometimes that happens in the meeting for some of the people. They've been given this blast of information. They've just heard the topic. There's a little bit of quiet time. I know that for me, I sort of try to wait for the spirit to get to me. I know you may not believe that because I talk so much, but that a lot of times I'll give a little bit of extra time because that person may be trying to get up the nerve to share, or they may be new to the meeting and they're just getting used to being on the phone to share. And I don't wait more than maybe 10 or 15 seconds, but I do know that when it's bam, 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 it doesn't give anybody else the chance to finally get up the nerve to say their name. And I find that near the end of the meeting, if I start saying, okay, we have this much time, those who wanted to share, please try to share if you can, then that gives them a little bit more time to be able to share. It's different for every meeting. I chaired, I'm at every meeting. I know the people at every meeting. I chaired a regular meeting and then was helping out throughout a couple different days of the week. So I had a pretty good idea of who might be interested in sharing. And very seldomly did I call on a name. I would, and then when I did, I found out that it was a God thing. That person really needed to share and they just needed that extra nudge. I used it when I chaired face-to-face meetings. I added one thing, and that was something that I started adding and took out immediately, especially since the adding anything to the script stuff came up. What I would say in a face-to-face meeting is that I don't have trouble with quiet time because I figure that's when God is coming into the room. It's a little different, of course, on the phone, and I found that out right away. Sometimes we'll experiment with something and pull right back. But when it comes to keeping the flow of the meeting going, that quiet time, it gets difficult. We're not a radio show, though. It's not like somebody's going to tune into our radio and then, 'cause I got trained in radio. Okay, I'm sorry, but it's not like somebody's going to be tuning into the radio and they're just going to switch the channel right away. I think giving it just a little bit of time and not going bang, 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 bang. Okay, you've got 5 seconds. Okay, nobody's going to jump in. Okay, I'm going to do this. Can be a little bit overwhelming, especially for someone new to the bridge. And I'll shut up. Thanks.
Thanks, Lizzie. Now, the third voice, it was male. Was it Joe or was it somebody else?
No, it wasn't me.
Okay, was it somebody else was trying to get in? All right, I'm sorry. I thought I heard three of y'all. If you're new here and I'm rattling all these voices off as quick as everybody jumps again, man, it's just something that you'll get used to as it goes along. Nobody expects you to guess every voice right. We're not that way at all. So, but those, man, those are all good valid points. I think it's great that we got a lot of different ideas we can think of. And then the biggest thing is, again, man, is just do what you can to keep the meeting flowing. And you know, if one person waits 2 or 3 seconds or 4 or 5 seconds longer than another chair does, nobody's going to jump in and say, hey, man, you went over 5 seconds. There is no perfect way to do this, man. You're a trusted servant. You're there doing your job to conduct the meeting, man. And all I know from my own experience, even with the little bit of noise we've had the last couple weekend meetings here, that something special happens in every one of our meetings. And you know, that's what's important, man. The message gets carried. There's a certain feeling on the bridge meetings that you don't ever get in a face-to-face meeting. And that's just really powerful for all of us. And we're coming up on about an hour now. So does anybody else have anything else they wanted us to cover in this workshop today before we wrap it up?
Andy, I'm an addict. I got a quick question for you.
All right, Janet, and I heard a male voice. We'll get to you right after.
If you're chairing a meeting in face-to-face, a lot of times, you know, like when I chair, and if no one's speaking, sometimes I will, just to keep the meeting going. I mean, does that happen often on the bridge? Is it acceptable? Is it not acceptable? I mean, what's your thoughts?
The groups never come out with something on it. To be honest with you, in a face-to-face meeting, I was taught when I first started chairing that my job is to chair the meeting, period. But there are times on the weekends where it's like, okay, if nobody's going to step up and get it rolling and I hit something on the topic. I've maybe done it 4 or 5 times in 6 months, but, I don't think our group has ever lined out a policy on that. If that's your way of getting it flowing again, just if you're going to do it, I would suggest that you make sure you're watching your time because you are an example.
And stay on top.
You know, whatever feels right, and if you find yourself having I would suggest, and again, this is my opinion, but if you would find yourself putting all that responsibility on yourself to get it flowing, and find yourself trying to start chairing to get the meeting flowing each time you chair it, then maybe it's time to call a couple names and see whichever works smoothest for you. This is all based on experience, man, and we each, even though we got a format that we all followed to the letter, we each got a little bit different style, and you know, it all works out. It all goes good. And who else was trying to jump in?
I'm an addict. My name is James.
Hey, James.
I just got a question, something that I've, since I've been a part of the bridge, something that I've noticed, and I just want to get some clarification on why we did it. I know we have two different, as far as for the chair people, we have two different formats. We have a weekday format, and then we have a weekend format. And I realize the fact that on the weekends, I think we tend to have the speakers on Friday and Saturday nights or Saturday night. But something that I heard as far as one thing that was different from the formats was that we don't read all of the readings. And I've never been to an NA meeting where I didn't see all of the readings read, and I just would like to hear some clarification on why we choose not to read We Do Recover or Just for Today or whichever readings it is that we take out on the weekends that we don't take out during the week.
Yeah, and that the decision on that made was strictly made as a result of the time factor and all, and personally I go to a lot of meetings that don't read all the readings. There's a couple here that just read three at every meeting. There's, you know, if you want to go from a world perspective, there's no requirement to read every reading in a meeting. Actually, a number of the meetings that we read in meetings now weren't readings when I first got clean. More Will Be Revealed was just added here, I think, the last conference cycle or maybe the conference cycle before that. But we did some timing on how long it takes to get everything done, and we're at approximately 18 minutes to 20 minutes just doing the readings that we do on a weekend before we announce the speaker. And if we're going to give that speaker another 10 minutes, we're already halfway through our meeting by the time we open up the floor. And it was a group decision. That's why we split the formats up. On a weekday meeting, you simply use a topic without a speaker. and there was a little additional time, and the people that were chairing the daytime meetings really wanted to add those to the daytime format. So does that answer your question?
Yeah. I mean, I guess just all the meetings that I've been to down in Florida, I've just never seen all of the meetings not read. Now, I've seen, when I lived over in Daytona, it was very common that meetings over there only read the front page of the 12 traditions. They didn't read the back page. But right. As far as all the readings being read, I've just always heard them read. And I've always been, I mean, since I've been in recovery, I've never really looked at time because, in a sense, I looked at it as being, if I ran over a few minutes, I ran over a few minutes. I never left the bar or the drug house when I was supposed to, so why should I cut a meeting short and end the meeting at exactly on time? That was my thought behind it.
Okay, yeah, but it was due to time and the dynamics of the meetings. Your Saturday and Sunday night meeting, for lack of a better example, were set up more as like a workshop, you know, with a speaker like maybe you would get more of at a convention. And those were your Sunday was your original meeting, and then we added a Saturday, and then we added the daytime, and it's the difference in dynamics. And as far as the other, you know, I can't find the exact quote in the service manual, but I could go find it, and it's clearly outlined in the duties of a chairperson to start and end the meeting on time. I mean, that's something that's been established part of the procedure as long as I've been a part of this fellowship. But you know, we went to great efforts. We did a test run with those readings in the daytime meetings, and we had addicts that didn't want to add them at all because of the time factor. They found out that they fit pretty well in the daytime meetings. But at night, like I said, we're taking up a good half of the meeting before we open up the share, and you've got 35 to 50 addicts in the room there. You do want to allow some share time for a meeting. So it was done by group conscience.
Okay.
Diane. I'm an addict.
Yeah. Hey, Diane.
I just wanted to say around here, there's very few meetings that do all those readings. And that's in all the years I've been in recovery. It varies from group to group which readings are done. So the group conscience really is the answer on that one.
Yeah, it's a synonymous, but that it wasn't done to exclude anybody or this that it was done strictly in an effort to, you know, we're bringing addicts in to participate. A lot of addicts who don't have opportunities to make meetings otherwise, and we wanted to try to maximize the share time for those addicts. So
Go ahead. I'm Tammy. I just wanted to say one thing. I think that is so special about the bridge that I'm really coming to love is that, you know, I've lived in several different areas, and everyone does it a little bit different. But the thing I really like about the bridge is we all bring all our ideas of how everything works in our own areas, and we submit them and discuss them in the home group. Then the home group decides what's best for this particular group. And I think that's really special that we've been able to do that, and we have a whole completely different culture now than any particular area because we've mixed ways and means of different areas into our one meeting, and I just think that's totally what's really special about this bridge meeting.
Thanks, Katie. All right, you know, we're now a little bit over an hour. Are there any other topics or any discussion questions anybody has that haven't been covered yet? And if so, let's deal with them, and then we can get this wrapped up.
Yeah, Brian Addick.
Hey, Brian.
Just a point of information that the reason that groups, and especially our group here, I believe, we start and end on time is we weren't that way when we were out there. We weren't responsible, and there's a dynamic to every tool that we use in Narcotics Anonymous, and one of them is responsibility, and when we end a meeting on time, that's us relearning responsibilities. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. All right, anybody else? Any other questions? I mean, I think we covered a lot of information here today, and I want to thank everybody for their participation. And, you know, if what we discussed here today, for any of y'all that are fairly new doing this, or, you know, I mean, or I'm liable to come up with a question, too, that we hadn't thought about, but, you know, I can update, like I said earlier, I uploaded my notes to the Yahoo group, And if we want to update those or add or whatever, that, and again, this is not group policy. I was just asked to do a workshop. That's the notes that I put together to get the workshop flowing. But if we would like to have some other things included in the notes for future reference for people that are getting ready to chair the bridge or trying to learn what we're doing here before maybe they get up the courage to say, I'd like to try to chair the bridge, then let me know and we can make any added additions or whatever to those. So, man, I want to thank everybody for coming and participating, and hopefully this will benefit not just those of us that were here, but some of those that are going to be coming along behind us as they get ready to do this service. So I want to thank you all today for your participation. And if we want to take just a moment of silence for your addicts still suffering in and out of this room, we'll go ahead and close with the wee version of the Serenity Prayer.
God,
Diane, you want to hit the button?
Okay.